Hello and welcome to this episode of Not Just Ghost Stories. I am your host Josh, joined by Jackie and Laura. We are a small team of experienced paranormal investigators, and here we discuss different locations that we've investigated, along with a little history and the paranormal evidence that we found. Today, we are going to be changing it up a little bit. We're going to be doing an urban legend that's based at the Poorhouse Road Tunnel in Lexington, Virginia. Laura, could you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, so the legend is that there is a ghost of two little girls inhabit the tunnel and whisper, come on, luring you down into the tunnel. There's also some other rumors that about the tunnel include a woman spirit who was raped and murdered there. The tunnel was reportedly the site of many lynchings and other murders. It's said a mysterious fog surrounds the middle of the tunnel, and shadowy figures are seen around this area. The two little girls who tried to lure people inside were supposedly playing in the nearby woods when a man shot and killed them. So, any of those are true, I would assume it could be trapped there.
Okay. Well, what we will say is, Laura, you and I have not had a chance to go to this tunnel yet. However, Jackie, you have been to this tunnel a couple of different times. What type of equipment did you take when you were checking it out?
I took the full spectrum camera and recorder and a flashlight.
All right. And what kind of things did you find? Let's talk about your first trip there.
Okay. First, let me kind of set the scene here and stuff like that. It's Poorhouse Road is one of those country lanes. It's about a lane and a half wide. It is paved, but there's, you know, gravel and stuff on. It's not the best paved road, and it goes through dense forest. It's just outside the town of Lexington. So you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere in Virginia. Not as scary as West Virginia, but kind of scary. Tunnel's about 3/4 of a mile down the road after you turn onto this lane and a half road. It's a stone block tunnel with sharp curves at the end of it, making it hard to see oncoming traffic. It is a one-car tunnel, so you've kind of got to make sure there's no other car coming through or you're not going to make it through. The floor of the tunnel is concrete, and along the left-hand side is a slight, it's about 4 inches drop down, and it's a looks like a trough. It's concreted, too, and there's a little creek that runs through it. And the first thing you notice about that is it's wide enough that you could run off the road and get a tire in there. And then, you know, what the heck are you going to do? You're on the road, but you're in the creek too. So you're kind of thinking about that when you're looking at the tunnel. And when the creek comes out of the tunnel, it does go back to its original stone and gravel bed. Again, there's another slight drop off there. I don't want to say waterfall because then you're thinking about Niagara Falls. Maybe about another 6 inches where the water goes down. It is a creek. It was raining the day I went there, and it's not rushing water. You could step over it. If you stepped in it, the water's not going to, you know, sweep you away. It's your typical creek and
stuff.
Is it
more like runoff water?
I don't know where it comes from because on the other side of the tunnel, it kind of disappears into the brush. So I'm trying to think around Lexington. There is the Moray River down there, but does it flow to that? Does it come out of that? I'm not really sure. So, but I grew up with all the creeks like this and stuff like that. We used to go catch minnows in them and things like that. You know, it's just a creek that you really wouldn't think about that it would have anything to do, except that it does run through this tunnel.
Now, real quick question for you. Now, this tunnel, is it still working to this day? Do people still drive through it?
Yes. Matter of fact, on the road, there are houses on the road. There's space few and far between. The rest of it is woods. Dense woods and brush and stuff like that. But the first time I went there, there were two cars and stopped. I stopped at the tunnel. There's a little place you can pull over. And I had Notchus with me, my dog, and I had to hurry up and bring him back to my side because there was a car that went through the tunnel. And then as we were just getting in the car to drive through the tunnel, another car from the other way came through the tunnel. So it is a country road. It's not a well-traveled road, but it does have traffic on it.
Okay. I'm sure there's teenagers out there often, too, if there's an urban legend in the area.
I'm pretty sure because nowhere along this road is there any place you could pull over until you get to the tunnel. And on the other side of the tunnel, there was a place where you actually back in and you can kind of park your car there. So, yeah, I think it gets a lot of teenagers and thrill seekers and, you know, people like ghost hunters out there. So the tunnel used to be, is built in the late 1880s. It's located along the old B&O Railroad that connected Lexington to Staunton. It's the typical arch tunnel. It's made of stone block. It's like the land is flat, but where this tunnel is, of course, the land and stuff and trees and brush have grown up over it. So there's like a mound. And on top, I couldn't see on top. It was first time I stopped, it was in June, so there was leaves. The second time I stopped was in December, so there wasn't leaves, but I'm assuming was there railroad tracks up there? And even if there are railroad tracks up there, I'm pretty sure they're grown over. I did not take the time to scramble up this hill to look and see what's on top. So, which I would, if I go back, I would do that and stuff, because that, you kind of need to do that to investigate it. Inside, of course, the tunnel walls are covered with graffiti. Nothing bad, and most of it I couldn't even understand, so I don't know what exactly it was, but yeah. The tunnel, because the one end, you walk into it straight, but the one end, as you come out of it, the road does a sharp turn. So it is kind of dark in the middle. I was there during the daylight. Most of these urban legends, I will not go at night because it's not the spirits I'm afraid of. It's the cars, the teenagers, the
crazy people
bears,
at times.
Snakes, yeah, whatever and stuff. So I was there during the day. It was raining that day I was there. And like I say, the creek was still, you could just step over it and you didn't have to worry about being washed away if you got into it.
Well, now, when you went there, you said you took, recorder, full spectrum and things like that. Did you have any feelings like when you first walked into the tunnel? Like, was there anything like, oh, there could be something?
Well, and the reason why I did this, I didn't just decide from Kentucky to drive to Virginia, but I have family over there, so I pass this place every time I go over there. And I thought it'll make a nice little stop. I can do the urban legend and things. Read about the urban legend, people hearing voices, two girls in there, come on, come on. You get there, and the first thing you see is this stream through the tunnel. You're like, there's no legend here. Of course, they're hearing the water sounds. So I took a lot of pictures from outside, and then I did walk into it, and I was three steps in, and you can hear me say on the recorder, you can hear voices. You walk in there, and you're hearing the water. And because this is an arched stone and it's that the mound is all covered with leaves and stuff like that, it amplifies the sound of the stream. The stream sounds pleasant outside, but when you get in it, it's a little echoey and stuff. But on my third step in, it was like I was hearing somebody turned a radio on real low. And you can hear the voices and you can hear the stream. But underneath that, you hear voices, but you can't make out what they're saying. Hmm. So I did not walk through the tunnel. Again, I had my dog, and I had already had a car that came through, so I didn't want to get caught in the tunnel. So I just went in probably about a quarter of the way, and I will say that my dog had no problem running up to the tunnel, going in the tunnel, investigating the tunnel. He did not act like a dog that was seeing spirits or being afraid of anything in the tunnel.
All right. Well, I mean, and a lot of times what we'll say is with a animal's instinct, a lot of times you can get different things and different feelings from them by what exactly they're looking at. I mean, we've all seen any type of videos or actually, you know, seen it with any of our own pets of like they're looking at something. You're like, what are they looking at? And it turns out it could be something possible, paranormal or whatever they're going to. It's kind of what they say about, you know, young children who are a little bit more open-minded. They have an imaginary friend. Is it really imaginary? So, you know, that's a great thing to have, you know, with Note just being by your side and kind of seeing how he's reacting to the situation. So that's a really good thing overall.
I haven't taken Notice on many ghost hunts or anything like that, but my previous dog, I did take him on ghost hunts, and like you were saying, we were actually in a cemetery, and I had let him go. He's by my side, but I let him go to the end of the leash, and I had a recorder there, and I was standing there, and he went to the end of the leash. He stopped. He wasn't pulling on the leash. He stopped. He's facing away from me. He barked once, and then he came right back to my side, turned around, and sat there. I said, as to whatever was there, I said, is there somebody here, and did you scare my dog? And on the recorder, I picked up an answer. The answer said no. So, and that I had a lot of validation with that dog that he was a little ghost hunting dog. So I'm not saying this present Notice is a ghost hunting dog, but like I say, he had no problem running through that tunnel and, you know, like nothing bothered him with it or anything.
You need to make a trip through there when in that area, they're like in a slight drought.
Yeah.
Because you said the creek was, you know, you could step over it. So I would think
it might dry up.
Yeah, maybe. Be worth the shot. I would just be curious to know, can you make out more of what they're saying if you didn't have the water?
Well, I had my recorder with me, and I was recording all the time I was in the tunnel and stuff. I come home, and I listen to it, and listening to it, you can hear the water, but as you do these things, you'll find that I hear something underneath it. So I hear it, I use Audacity, I slow it down, and I can make out words. I made out the words, I think it says, you're fine. And I made out a word that said, do not, or get out, get out. So you mark these down, you listen to the recorder, you go back, you check it. Mm-hmm. I can't hear those things anymore. So what I'm wondering is, do we, with sounds, do the same as we do with shapes? When we see shapes, we try to make people out of them. When we hear sounds, are we trying to make words out of them? And so even on the recorder, I can, you know, edit it a bit that I think they're words. But yet when I go back,
can't find them again.
Can't find them again.
Well, I mean, this is another thing that we've also talked about too, where, and which now I do have a analog recorder, but with digital recorders, is it one of those things? Can it be manipulated later on? I mean, I know for a fact that we had whistling at Gaines Tavern.
Yeah.
Can't find it now.
Yep.
It's gone. But we marked it. We had it. We actually had it set off into a separate file. Even on that separate file, it is no longer there. So, you know, is it something that can be manipulated by something else? So that's another one of those questions. Can it be manipulated?
Yeah, because we've had the video at Sweet Springs where I saw a man. And you watched the video, Laura watched the video. You didn't see the man.
No.
But one of your sons did.
Yeah.
And he described him. I didn't describe him to anybody. And he described what I saw. But you pull that video up now.
Can't find it.
Can't find it. But you still feel, when you're looking at that, you still feel like that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So could it be that way? Yeah, possibly. Because the thing is, I am hearing the water. And this other noise is underneath that water.
Yeah.
So the second time I went, I took my husband. and I made him walk through the tunnel. And
for the record, it's Tech Jeff.
Oh yeah, I took Tech Jeff, made him walk through the through the tunnel, and I didn't give him the recorder. Silly me, I kept the recorder. Didn't think that one through, I guess. And I asked him, the minute I stepped in that tunnel, like three steps in, it's like that radio comes on and you are hearing conversations. Like there's two or three people back there discussing things.
Now, was the water flowing the second time you went to?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So it wasn't raining and it hadn't been raining, so it may not have been as loud, but yes, the water was still flowing.
My thing is, though, even if your brain is just coming to those conclusions because it, you know, wants to make sense of things. So if she was able to pick the words out once, you would think her brain would automatically pick them out the next time.
Right.
Not be absent. I mean, scientifically, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Because even though I did not leave the editing, I mark where it's supposed to be. I go back and listen to it. I can't even find the undertone that alerted me to it the first time. But listening to the recording on another place, I found what I thought, I can't remember what they were saying, but I found some words. I believe I asked the person, could they tell me their name? And I found something that said, yes, but I'm not going to. And again, go back and look for it. You can't find it. But in doing that, maybe in another part of the recording, I found something different. So I'm not really sure. Is this paranormal? Is this some weird sound thing? Is there something about that tunnel and the water and just everything comes together that it's creating some sort of weird sound effect? I don't know. Also, the rumor about the woman, I didn't get anything like that. But I did catch some shadow movement. It was down at the other end of the tunnel. You saw it out of the corner of your eye, like you do shadow movement. And by the time you look, it was gone. So was it a shadow figure? I don't know. One of the full spectrum, when I first was looking through the full spectrum pictures, I did see what I saw, what I thought was a shadow figure. As you pull it up and you look at it, you realize that it's just the play of the light and it's not really a person type figure. So,
well, I'm sure in one of our journeys, hopefully we'll all roll through there together.
Yeah. And this needs more, like I say, I really should go up to the top of the hill to find out what's there. I don't know. Maybe there's some speaker there or it's, who knows what's there.
And I would want to do experiments too, like maybe put one person right in the tunnel and then, you know, one at the end. Top,
one
at,
yeah.
Somebody go down below, somebody go up top. Just make sounds.
Yeah.
And not make sounds.
Which.
And definitely communicate. Hey, I just heard this. And communicate if you're able to hear that, you know, on the top or the bottom or.
Well, let's go back to one of the very first things that we ever talked about on this podcast, which is the legend of Pigman. Right. It's at a bridge. It's outside. Jackie, you referenced at one point you heard a dog barking.
Right.
That can be construed as a possible, because it was a smaller style type of dog.
Late at night.
At night. You're hearing that. Could be construed as something different. With, you know, water running through things, sometimes, you know, you have actually many different frequencies to water running, right? And your brain plays tricks on you when you're hearing that. So let me ask you about this tunnel. Do you think that the legends or the urban legends, as people are putting them, could possibly have any validity to them?
And that was another thing. And my research had to be done offline because I'm not going to drive to Lexington, Virginia and go to the library and stuff. It's a little far away. So in my research online, I found nothing about two little girls getting murdered. I found nothing about a rape. At one point, even one of the articles I read said there were many lynchings at that tunnel. But I didn't even put that in here because that was one reference and I found nothing else about it. So I did read other paranormal people there that have, I like the mysterious fog in the tunnel, because think about it. You have a tunnel. It's stone. It has river running through it. Humidity, fog, yeah, well, whatever, yeah.
And with a tunnel, I mean, you're going to get temperature changes from the outside to the inside, especially into the middle, because that's going to be a cooler.
Right, so you would expect to see fog there even when you don't see it outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did I get a lot of orbs the first time I took the full spectrum and took pictures? Yes, I did. But as I said, it was raining. So I did not get orbs. I got water droplets.
Well, I mean, and even with orbs, we're a group that whenever we see an orb on a picture, we have to doubt it a lot. Okay. Right. Could it be dust? Could it be a bug? Could it be water in this instance or anything else? So it's one of those things we have to be 100% sure that it's not any of those other things or outside elements that it could be. So that's kind of one of the cool things about us as a group, I think. But, you know, these urban legends, I love the idea of them. I love how they work out. You know, we're going to have a few more as we go along in this podcast. Well, this podcast series, and try to figure out some other ones and different things. You know, like I said, going back to Pigman, we learned that there are many different places have a Pigman, you know, and why is that type of thing?
Well, we also learned there is a genetic condition that creates a face that is not symmetrical.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Why do you think that this lore has come up about this specific tunnel?
I think because it's a tunnel, it's a train tunnel, because there is water, because if you're just walking through it and you're normal, I went there to investigate and I really thought when I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be marking this off. This is not an herb. This is just an urban legend. But on the third step, it surprised me enough that I said, you can hear voices. If you're not into the paranormal and you're walking in there and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I hear conversations. To you, you just entered a haunted tunnel.
True.
So to us, we just entered a place that we need to look into a little bit more.
And we definitely got to go do this sometime soon. Maybe we're going to try to set up a ghost hunt. If anybody has anything in Lexington, Virginia that they would like us to look at, let us know. We'll check this one out too.
Oh, there's a lot of places in Virginia.
But for me, urban legends, just because you can't prove exactly what they say the legend is, I still feel like something had to happen in these places of some sorts. Or you know, how would the legend start? Somebody just randomly goes and says it's haunted?
We did hear.
Just catches on?
We did hear in the Legend of Pigmen that there was one somebody walking along that railroad tracks did have a, got their arm torn off or something. Plus, there was that train that crashed there. The two cars crashed there. So, yes, mm-hmm. There was that place. This is another tunnel with a train. Maybe there was a train accident there or whatever. I do want to say one thing, though. When I took Robin there and he walked in and I was all excited, he's going to hear voices and he walks all the way through and walks all the way back. And I have a wonderful picture of him in the tunnel and he's just a shadow, which, you know, I could pass off as a ghost, but yeah. And the person is actually alive. I brought him home with me. He heard a noise and he can't really describe it. Like a whistle, but not a whistle. And it went on for a long time, but it wasn't sharp like a whistle. And I had actually picked up a noise. It sounded like a hoot, two hoots. It could have been an owl, you know.
I'd be curious to ask Robin if he could have possibly been hearing like the tracks, like that kind of.
Yeah. Are there tracks up there though?
I don't know.
Yeah, there are no tracks in the tunnel because it is now for cars and stuff.
It would have to be residual even if so because you would have known if a train was, or I would think you would.
Yeah, and if there are tracks up there, they're overgrown. So I'm not saying you wouldn't get that sound and stuff. But the hoot, I had him listen to the hoot, and that wasn't what he heard. And when he said it kept continuing, there was a place on my recording that all I can say is it sounded like a vibration, like a low hum. But it wasn't, this is not a road where you're going to find a semi. You're not going to find a big truck on it. Cars, yeah. Tractors, maybe. But the only thing that I can kind of describe this is like if, like a semi or something.
Yeah, none of those things, none of those other ones weigh enough to cause a vibration like that.
So I did pick that up on my recording, and he said that he did hear that.
All right. I mean, it's interesting, and now it just makes me want to go that way even more, just because I'm like, now I have to check this out. This has to be done. You know, but Laura brought up a good point, you know, something had to come from somewhere, you know, where you grew up, Laura, we went and checked out a grave down there. It was about a witch and some other stuff that happens inside of that. You know, so, you know, it has to come from somewhere. This is an actual grave of where somebody's at. So with this tunnel, I mean, something at some point had to happen in this tunnel in order for things like this to get started, don't you think?
Well, I think we can even back it up. And like we said with the legend of Pigmen, this legend has been going on for how long? So, and we have found it, or I have found it in some of the houses that we've been to, Sedamsville and Post Town. The first time you went, didn't get a lot. But as you go over the years, you're picking up more because people are going there looking for spirits. And I think they're opening, unbeknownst to them, just by intent, they're opening up portals and spirits are coming. So was there anything that started at Poor House, or did people just decide somebody's making up an urban legend one time, but we have people going there now? So
looking for the intent.
Right. You know, that gives power, especially if you're, you know, younger and you get startled easy in the dark.
Well,
strong emotions make timestamps.
Yeah.
Well, and at the same time, think of it. We've talked about, you know, younger people trying to go through, find things. You're running on high hormones. You're running on all this different kind of stuff. We talked about this with the school series that we did. So if they're going there with intent, they're trying to scare each other for one, or get scared themselves, or they do get scared because they hear something. I mean, it could be a deer walking up on the hillside.
But they're there for the thrill. So anything that could be misconstrued is going to be a thrill.
And it can create some type of imprint now on that tunnel in order to start manifesting something. I mean, we've found it, and other paranormal teams have found it, where, you know, you have some kind of pretty much a PK manifestation that creates something out of nothing because people have always wanted to believe it was there.
And it may also bring, it may be like a, like we're the tour guides and we go there because we're going to see a spirit. And just because we're intending to see a spirit, we've now kind of like put the light on that, you know, room for rent, spirits come.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
And also it might be something, if you're not familiar with the woods, I don't know if you ever heard a rabbit in distress. They scream. They sound like a baby that's somebody's murdering a baby.
I grew up in the woods, and there was a lot of sounds that when I was little, my dad would tell me what they were, and I just knew he was lying because he didn't know.
I mean, even at nighttime, if you have a deer that starts, you know, huffing at you because you've scared it, that can be an eerie sound in the dark.
Yeah. It sounds like somebody's coughing or something.
Exactly.
You don't even get to fighting raccoons. I mean,
you have all kinds of coyotes, different things inside of the woods that can all of a sudden, and then you start to get the fear that runs out of it, and then things can happen out of that.
I was out hunting, and of course, you know, you're being silent and stuff, and I knew there was a deer running parallel to me. So I would walk really slow, and then I'd stop and listen, and the footsteps would stop. And then I'd walk really slow and the footsteps would start. So it was like I was tracking the deer and the deer was tracking me. So put this at night and you're thinking, oh my God, I heard footsteps.
Right.
Yeah. There's somebody there and they stopped when I stopped and stuff. So yeah, like I say, this one I would go back during the night. It could be creepy. You're in the forest. You got the overgrown and stuff like that. And so it's creepy anyway.
I think that's why we like doing urban legends, because we know that regardless of how much we research it, you're not going to figure out the answer. But when you're a ghost hunter, it's intriguing. Like, you're here for answers, so we just keep looking.
Now, there is one thing that will scare the crap out of you going to this. Just before the bridge, the stream that runs through the bridge, or tunnel, runs through the tunnel, crosses the road, and the road dips down a little bit. And I'm in my little Ford Escape, and there's a stick to tell you how high the water could get. And I had to look up because the water could get up to 6 feet. And I thought, now I'm scared. Yeah. And of course it was raining that day and I'm thinking, oh my God, now I'm scared. So, but we made it over the road, never saw it, never got even touched the stick or anything.
Well, that's good.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, we bring up these legends because we want to hear from everybody that listens to us. We want you to contact us if you have legends in your area and you want us to come check it out. We're more than happy to do that. We would love to, you know.
Yeah, we like to build those in when we're traveling long distances, just like Jackie did with the tunnel. Exactly. Take a break,
let the dog run loose and, you know. And also, of course, we've only done a few urban legends, but really, Laura and I will be talking about a couple more. And while what drew us there for the legend might not be true, but both those places, I would say there's something there.
Yes.
So, and the same way with Pigman. Mm-hmm. We showed the pictures to our psychic, Donna, and she picked up on the train crash. So it may not be the legend, but so far we're batting 1,000 on haunted places.
So, I mean, it's just another fun thing. Even if there's absolutely nothing there, most of the time, like we've said, it's there because of a reason. And then things end up happening from that. So, you know, this is right up our alley. We love doing this type of stuff. So please let us know.
There could also be the fact that there was paranormal activity there a long time ago. And once the tunnel was built, then somebody was going through there in that specific spot. Because we don't know what was settled there 300 years ago. So it's very possible that it's a paranormal experience that they're not understanding. And in order to make it sense, it just turns into an urban legend.
I'm actually glad you brought up that, because I forgot where this tunnel was at. Like I say, I have family over there. My daughter lives over there, and she lives in a huge housing development and stuff. And because my granddaughter is psychic, I have had to do some research on the property. And where my daughter's house sits and where there's, I think, 9,000 other houses, it used to be the Confederate camp during the Civil War for 6 months, and then the Union took it over. And right behind her is a old church, a quiet church, and that church was part of the battlefield. So we're talking Lexington. Again, the Civil War took place mainly in Virginia. I know it got the other states, but I'm finding out that there's not a lot of property that wasn't touched. So yeah, what battle was fought there? Was there a small skirmish there during the Civil War? Were there dead soldiers? If there was a cabin there, was that used as a hospital and stuff? So it could very well have, that could have brought in the paranormal activity that way too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any last words before we wrap up this podcast?
Nope, but like I say, I'm not willing to say it's paranormal, and I'm not willing to say it's not paranormal. And as with most stuff, it's brought up a lot more questions about sound. Why is it have these weird sound anomalies? And it, I think I'm just going to have to put my hiking boots on and climb up that mountain to see what's on top of that tunnel.
Well, I was about to say, you know, now this gives us an excuse. We'll have another podcast about it. We're going to go as a group and go get this thing done because I want to check it out overall too. So I know Laura wants to check it out. So maybe we can actually do some type of experiments and have some answers on the next podcast about the poorhouse tunnel.
And you know what's over there that we had to take off our ghost hunting, St. Albans. We had to take it off the ghost hunting list because of your dream. Maybe it's time to put it back on, and maybe that's in Virginia.
Maybe it is time to put it back on, so maybe we can do that. So
yeah, I'm down for it. I was upset when we had to remove it.
All right. Well, on that note, this has been Not Just Ghost Stories. We have been your hosts, Josh,
Laura,
and Jackie.
And until next time, you can find information and contact us on our website at notjustghoststories.com and see evidence that we discussed on Facebook at Not Just Ghost Stories.